This hour, waiting patiently, we have Dr. Michael Berge. That's right, Dr. Michael Berge.
That is correct.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you.
It's good to meet you. Hey, who are you?
Right.
Where am I?
Blue Cross veterinarian in service and clinic in Central Park, right?
Right, yeah, I do stuff. 533-2591.
Wow. You just rattled that up. Boom.
Same phone number. When I bought the place in 93, that's the phone number we had.
Really?
And I don't know how old, much older it is than that.
Yeah.
The clinic's been around since 29.
And you're like the third?
That's correct, yeah.
To be there? Compassionate, common sense, and affordable. Vet care done right for the community that you love.
That's what I wrote down. Those are my words that I wrote down for my advertisement, and hopefully they work and do the job.
So, did you have any pipes break during this last freeze?
I did not. However, I did have a couple of trees fall down. One of them almost entirely blocked Central Park Drive.
Whoa.
But it's an alder, and it happened to go straight crosswise across the road. Mm-hmm. But there was still room for vehicles to kind of drive around it. But I was really pleased. You know, I showed up at 8 for work and I noticed a tree. You can't really miss it. Mm-hmm. And then minutes afterwards, a couple of men in a civilian vehicle, you know, with just a regular clothes and a professional looking chainsaw started working on it.
Yeah.
And I thought, hey, that's really neat. Great citizens and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they worked at it for a while, and then they were joined by a professional work crew. And turns out they were professionals, too. But they must have gotten a phone call early on and just, come on, we need you right here, right now.
Right now.
And there they were. I was really proud of them.
Well, that's cool. Did they give you the wood?
Yeah, actually, you know, I left them alone because, you know, the main thing that I can do is stay out of the way for stuff like that.
Yeah.
But when they were just about done, I wandered over and asked about the wood. And apparently, I think it's kind of common courtesy that the owner of the property gets first dibs on the wood. Mm-hmm. And what I said is, what do I do now? And I said, well, it'll go away. And I said, could I have the wood? And he said, oh, sure. And then the foreman said, if you do want the wood, you probably want to kind of get to it sooner rather than later.
Oh, yeah?
Because regular people come by to take the firewood, which is fine as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
But, you know, if I wanted the wood and I waited 2 or 3 weeks and suddenly it was all the good stuff was gone, well, that's just what you get.
Right. Okay. Well, you got some wood out of the deal.
Right.
Are you going to use this for firewood? Or are you going to plane it and use it for building?
No, I got it for firewood. Yeah. However, you know, I did pay somebody, a team, to do that for me. Mm-hmm. And the amount of money that I paid was significantly higher than what I could have gotten the same amount of wood delivered. Mm-hmm. But they did a lot more than just cut the firewood for me. You know,
right.
They cleaned up all the mess and everything.
Nice. But no wood over the car or anything. No tree. That's good.
No damage. Yeah. No broken pipes for me, but I'm sure other people had some.
Did you do anything to prevent any freezing of the pipes? Some people open their cabinets underneath the sink or anything like that?
Yeah, apparently, and it's absolutely true. If you believe you're at high risk of a frozen pipe, mm-hmm. you should choose a random faucet somewhere inside of your house and give it a slow drip. You don't need to run a lot of water, just a little bit.
Yeah.
And what that will do is keep water flowing through your pipes, which is enough to keep them from freezing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because the water that comes from deep underground has warmth in it. No matter how bitterly cold it is above ground, even though that water seems cold, it is warm enough to keep it from freezing.
Right. Well, you come in once a month
mm-hmm.
to offer free pet advice.
That's right. And this is a good time, if you want your free pet advice, to call right now.
Right.
Call or email if you're shy. Mm-hmm. And I will address the question, and you get what you pay for.
Right. The number is 360-533-5259. Email or text. It's johnny@jodesha.com. You know, there's only so many times I can ask you about fleas or ticks or, you know, something else. So.
Well, but that's all right. You know, you can wander around and, you know, you can ask random questions, and I can actually answer random questions, and sometimes my answers will actually correspond with the questions you ask me.
Well, that's good.
But talking about fleas, I just read a little bit of trivia. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's a website called Quora, Q-U-O-R-A, mm-hmm. and people will ask questions, and other people will volunteer answers, and the answers that are popular get voted up.
Right.
And one of the questions was, why is it that there are so many insects on the land, but there aren't any in the ocean? You know, and there are insects in the freshwater, you know, water beetles and things like that. Why aren't there any on the ocean? Mm-hmm. And the answer is there actually is a group of insects which is found way out in the middle of the ocean.
And you've been way out in the middle of the ocean.
I have been, but I did not see any of these little bugs. But they were probably there. Anyway, there's a type of a water strider that lives hundreds and hundreds of miles from land. And that's just what it does. It lives out in the open ocean. And it's a tough environment.
Yeah.
If the weather is rough, because it can get rough anywhere, they can get sucked under, you know, waves can break over them and so forth. Mm-hmm. So they have the ability to swim back up to the surface again and shake the water off and then become water striders again. They're not officially water striders. They have their own name.
What is a water strider?
A water strider, if you go to any swamp or still water in the summertime, you'll often see what looks like a spider that's standing on top of the water. Mm-hmm. And it looks like they're skating, you know, like they're ice skating. They skitter around. Mm-hmm. And they call them water striders because they kind of stride over the water. They have really long legs, like a daddy long legs, but they stay on the water.
Hmm.
And that's a type of an insect that uses the surface tension to keep itself safe above the surface of the water.
And fish eat those things?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although apparently they don't really taste very good.
Oh, the fish or the bugs?
The bugs. Although, in general, you know, fish and frogs that like to eat stuff, they don't really worry too much about how good it tastes.
Yeah, they just go for it.
Yeah.
And then the sea lions eat the fish.
Yeah.
Right.
Except now the killer whales are eating the sea lions. Apparently there's been a lot of killer whale activity in California because the marine mammal population has risen. And some killer whales, in fact, the majority of them, get most of their food by eating marine mammals.
Mm-hmm.
The killer whales we have here in Puget Sound get their food 100% by eating salmon. Mm-hmm. And that group is not actually doing very well because, you know, there's not as much salmon as there once were. But the other ones, the ones that live out in the open ocean and also go into the bays and things and eat seals and sea lions, they're doing quite well.
Now, I heard that a lot of the orcas don't like the seals because, I don't know, they eat garbage or something and they're not
apparently as tasty as
they used to be or something.
You know, just like, you know, humans will have, you know, we're the X family and we're farmers and we're the Y family and we're ranchers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the killer whales are like that too. And in fact, all of the marine mammals are, the dolphins and everything else. Each group has their own history and what they like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the killer whales, the orcas that we have here in Puget Sound, are a salmon-eating group, and they don't want to eat the seals.
Hmm.
But if the other ones, the other orcas that like seals, come swimming in, sure, they'll snap down that seal just fine.
Wow. Have you ever eaten seal?
No. I have eaten manatee.
Really?
Yeah, but I shouldn't say that.
Does it taste like chicken?
No, it tastes like pork.
Oh, okay. Wow, interesting. It's about 18 minutes after 7. Dr. Berge is here to answer any pet questions you may have at 360-533-5259. Text message or email johnny@jodesha.com for local matters.
Hi, Naomi here for the Grace Harbor Farmers Market in Hoquiam. It's the new year and the market has reopened after a 2-week hiatus to get a little maintenance done. The bakery is up and running and ready to have their wonderful baked goods available for you. Nancy is back and along with her crew has been hard at work filling the tables and coolers with goodies. Tony will have gluten-free goodies available again after February. Deidre's Deli is open and she's making those great soups and sandwiches for you to enjoy. The market is a great place to come for unusual and great gift ideas. We have many talented vendors who have their wonderful wares available to purchase. There is a great variety of handmade items and artwork that you can purchase or even make a special order. The market is open 7 days a week and the deli is open Tuesday through Friday. Come in and see us soon. The Grace Harbor Farmers Market, friendly people and great values. Grace Harbor Farmers Market.
used furniture is packed. The store is stacked. It's all got to go, and that's a fact. Now, during our inventory reduction sale, it's all got to go at savings bigger than you ever thought possible. Every 2023 living room and dining room is 20 to 50% off. Every 2023 bedroom and mattress is 20 to 50% off. McHugh's reduced prices to make it all go away. 20 to 50% off. Plus, no interest for 3 years during McHugh's Furniture's inventory reduction sale. Going on now.
Ooh, that's our cue, Dr. Berge.
Oh, well, okay. No, I'm here.
No pressure.
Yes. Yes, and once again, I answer questions, but also I make stuff up. You know, in your introduction for Local Matters, you say favor local news. But, you know, when I'm on this, I've got this microphone right now, I might talk about alien fleas or something or anything.
Alien fleas?
Yeah. Are there alien fleas? Would you like to know the answer to that?
I would like to know.
So would I.
Oh, I thought you had the answer.
No, I do not.
Okay.
Right. However, I would be willing to get the guess that somewhere far out in the cosmos, if there's a planet with life on it, they probably have parasites.
Think so?
I'd be willing to stick my neck out on that one.
Okay.
And buy Bravecto. That will take care of their problem.
Right. From you. Right.
Right. Yeah.
And only from you.
Yeah. Free shipping.
Right. Wow. Do you ever do any like online ordering or anything?
For myself, all the time. For the veterinary stuff, you have a supplier, just like a plumber or anybody else, and you get most of your stuff through the supplier.
Yeah.
But now and then the supplier will fail you, and then, you know, I get on eBay and buy stuff.
Yeah. Do you have, like, a weakness?
I have no weaknesses.
Okay.
Once upon a time, I thought I made a mistake, but I was mistaken.
So you were wrong twice.
Yeah. No, but I deny that.
Okay. Fair enough.
Fake news.
Right. And it's everywhere. What? Oh. Yeah, don't get me going. So, what have you been doing? I mean, Happy New Year.
Oh, yeah. Right. It is a new year, 2024. Here I am, still alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little bit frayed around the edges, but I am yet still alive here.
Right.
When I was a little kid, I remember talking about to grown-ups and say, when this new millennium comes, you'll be 45 years old. And I said, wow, will I still be alive then? And they said, I sure hope so.
Right.
That was a while ago.
And now look. So if you have any pet questions, we're here. We're here for you.
Here, yes, indeed.
Right. So you can give us a buzz at 360-533-5259. How's the comic going?
Okay, I just produced a new page yesterday. I'm trying to get like one a month out.
Yeah.
But, you know, even though I say nothing's happening in my life, I seem to be very busy. You know, it's kind of, it's like treading water. To avoid drowning, you just keep working hard. So I am pretty busy, but I do really enjoy my comic. You know, I wrote those two novels, too, but that was a while ago. And what I do my creative stuff on is a comic called Ship's Fox, which is not in a newspaper. You have to go online to one of those websites and get it.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells the story of a magical fox, a regular old four-footed fox that wanders around, but he talks and gets into trouble, and he has friends.
What kind of trouble?
Well, it's a fox. What sort of trouble would he not get into?
Okay.
But you know, he sort of was born trouble because in this world, which is, you know, mostly run by humans, they do have some talking animals, some talking otters and talking dogs that they call hellhounds.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not really supposed to have talking foxes. They're just regular talking foxes, except the king, who's a really nice guy, was cursed. A very powerful magician made it so that his firstborn child was born as a fox.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea that they would, you know, well, we'll just kill him, you know, get on with it, have a proper human baby. But the king chose not to do that, and he's still supporting this fox child, the prince, and because, you know, he's just not going to abandon him. And then this child is a talking fox and so forth. Well, this talking fox prince had an indiscretion, and he has a fox child, and that's my character. The ship's fox. So he's not only a talking fox, but he's actually a talking royal bastard fox, which was secret until recently. But the word is out.
Uh-oh. was it an episode to do that? To that, you know, to release that information.
Well, he's no, the Fox, my character, has always known that of his background, mm-hmm. but he was told by his mentor that he was supposed to keep that secret, and he did. And now suddenly he's come into port, and everyone is talking about him. He's now a superstar, you know, the little bastard Fox, and everyone loves him, mm-hmm. but he didn't blab. So the question is, who did?
So who did, or do I have to read the comic?
No, even if you read the comic, you won't find out because I have not yet revealed that.
Oh, yet?
Yes.
Do you have an idea?
Oh, okay, like, I can tell you right now. The king blabbed. The king knew all along.
Yeah.
And he needs an agent for some trouble, and he's decided that his little bastard grandchild Fox could be quite useful as a spy, and so he divulges this information for political purposes.
Oh, of course.
But he's a good guy. The king is a good guy.
The king's a good guy, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so we like the king.
Right.
For now.
Yes.
Right?
Unless I change my mind.
Right. So how do you, you know, come up with this?
At 3 in the morning when I should be sleeping.
Yeah. You wake up and you're like, go back to sleep.
Yeah, and it'll be a really simple thing. Okay, we've established that. Okay, now go back to sleep.
Do you ever get back to sleep?
Well, I manage somewhat, but yeah. Sleeping is not my most efficient enterprise these days.
Right. I hear you. I hear you on that, friend.
Anyway, so that's my creative outlet is my online comic called Ship's Fox.
Right.
And then I work on my little cottage in the woods, and I work on being a semi-retired veterinarian. Well, not really. I'm pretty much full time.
Yeah.
But I try to keep it to the simple stuff.
Right. You're not doing iguanas and you're not doing
right.
like brain surgery. Can you do brain surgery on an animal?
I have never done brain surgery.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Excuse me. I have done a lot of brain removals, but I don't ever put them back again.
Oh, okay. You put them in a jar or something?
Well, before I was ever a veterinarian, I was a lab tech in Corvallis, Oregon, which is a diagnostic lab.
Yeah.
And we would get these animals, usually bats, to be tested for rabies. And it was my job to scoop out their brains and put them in a little dish.
Ew, scoop them out?
Yeah, only
use a
part
spoon
of it.
Or something?
Well, for a bat, I would take out the whole brain. But if it was a bigger animal, like a cat or something, I would just take out the hypothalamus, which is a little part of the brain, and put it in a little dish, send it down the hallway, and then they would tell us shortly afterwards whether it had rabies or not. Meanwhile, I was not supposed to put my fingers in my mouth or anything like that.
Ew.
They had a whole decontamination thing, you know, special clothing I was supposed to wear and gloves and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And
because they didn't really want me to get rabies. And I agree, I did not want to get rabies.
Right. Yeah, that would suck.
Yeah.
That would really put a damper on one's day, getting rabies and stuff.
Yeah, and now and then we get a bat rabies, because these were sick bats, and many of them actually did have rabies, maybe about 1 out of 4.
Oh, yeah.
And then one time we had a cat, and it actually had rabies. It was the first time in Oregon in 20 years that a cat had been confirmed positive with rabies.
Oh, wow. And you get those?
People ask me questions about rabies now.
Yeah.
And I tell them the same thing as I did back when I was a lab tech, which is, you know, if there's a realistic human exposure, the Washington State Department of Health will pay for the rabies testing to be done.
Oh, okay.
But if they feel that you're just being a kind of a worrywart, they will not pay for it. You can still get it done, but you have to pay with your own money.
Oh. Do you get many rabies calls?
Not very often, sort of in passing. Usually it will be, my cat had a bat, and here's the bat. What do I do now?
Right.
The bat is usually dead at that point.
Right. Are there signs and symptoms of rabies? Oh, we got a call. Let's get it while we can.
Ooh. Alrighty.
Hey, it's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Hello. My name's Anna.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Hey, Dr. Bergie. You have seen 3 of my cats and both of my dogs host of other fur babies. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. It's good that it's really fun to watch these animals over the years and so forth.
Yeah, I bet. Well, my question today is about these alien fleas.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, since it's really a disease of my brain, I don't think they're actually anywhere outside of my brain. And if you keep your distance from me, you should be safe.
Oh, okay, good. Well.
But yeah, you know, I talk about stuff. I do believe that there probably is alien life on many, many different planets. It's just, it's really far away and hard to visit.
Okay, so in other words, what's ailing my dog and, what's giving my dog most of his exercise, is probably not an alien flea, but more likely a common flea.
I would say so, yes. But the common fleas give a lot of trouble, that's for sure.
They do, yeah. And so I'm kind of a cheapskate. I do like to take care of my animals, but I also have been pretty successful with treating them one time a year in like the spring when it starts to warm up. And
right. Now, we're running out of time right now, so I'm going to kind of terminate right now, but I will have to say before I hang up that once a year just does not cut it for fleas.
Time for our centennial moment. Hey, thanks for the call. You can call back after the break on Local Matters.
NBC News Radio, I'm Michael Kastner. Writer E. Jean Carroll is expected to take the stand this morning in the defamation damages trial against Donald Trump. Manhattan jury will determine how much Trump will have to pay Carroll for defaming her in 2019 after she told New York Magazine that Trump had raped her decades earlier. Winter weather is causing issues at airports across the country. According to FlightAware, there are nearly 800 flights within, into, or out of the U.S. that have been canceled so far today. Convicted murderer Alex Murdaugh has a court hearing set. Thomas Cage with details.
Twice convicted killer Alex Murdaugh will be back in the courtroom at the end of the month. On Tuesday, it was decided the disbarred South Carolina lawyer will be allowed a hearing to attempt to prove alleged jury tampering took place during the 2021 double murder trial of his wife and eldest son. Murdaugh will need to show that not only did jury tampering take place, but also that it resulted in prejudice to spark a retrial.
Michael Kastner, NBC News Radio.
Today is January 17, 2024, and this is the Pulse Museum's daily centennial moment. Citizen Storm Commission do not want gavel. A stormy session of the Hoquiam City Commission yesterday, attended by a large delegation of irate residents of the section from Emerson Avenue to Chenault Avenue, in which the commission has proposed to build new gravel roads under the local improvement plan, ended up with an agreement to hold a public meeting of interested property owners at which the differences will be thoroughly aired. A convenient date within the next 2 weeks will be selected as soon as possible. Led by Charles Crane, who presented a protest signed, he said by more than half of the residents and owners of more than half of the property included in the district, the delegation filed emphatic protest against construction of gravel streets. They declared that little or no benefit would be given the district by such temporary improvements. The Hoquiam Land Company, through its president, Harry C. Heermans, signed a protest worded differently from that circulated among resident property owners. In other news, 85 magazines now at Public Library. 4 magazines have been added to the files of the Hoquiam Public Library this year. Also, the News Tribune, a 6-day paper published in Tacoma in the afternoon. This brings the total magazine list for use of Hoquiam citizens and other borrowers of the library to 85. Truly an excellent and varied lot, including 6 chosen particularly for juveniles. The recently added magazines are American Builder, a magazine which covers the building field very thoroughly from house planning to interior decorations and commercial buildings. Musical America, as its name implies, a magazine dealing with musicians and events of interest to those interested in music and musicians. Annals of the American Academy of Political and Social Science. The Academy was organized in 1889 to provide a national forum for the discussion of political and social questions. It publishes annually 6 issues of the Annals dealing with the most prominent current social and political problems. And finally, System, well known to businessmen and many others, as it is principally a businessman's monthly, and Musical America is the only weekly in the lists, the others are monthly. And finally, towing horses is inhumane, declares Eagle's secretary. Steps to prevent thoughtless or or brutal owners of stock from being cruel to their horses are needed as a result of the arrival of the automobile age, according to John Bell, secretary of the Eagles Lodge, who was yesterday making an investigation as to whether any humane society or similar organization exists on Grace Harbor to take up the idea. The question was brought to Mr. Bell's attention Sunday, he said, by seeing several horses tied in rear of an automobile and apparently being forced to run from Markham or some other city along the south shore of Grace Harbor to Aberdeen. The driver would think himself going slow if he drove 10 or 20 miles an hour, yet such a speed would be far too great for ordinary draft animals, especially on the numerous hills along the South Side Road. Trotting downhill, where an automobile would be likely to coast down at considerable speed, is especially hard on horses and likely to break their wind, according to Mr. Bell. This was originally printed in the Grace Harbor Washingtonian newspaper on January 17, 1924. From all of us at the Polson, we thank you for supporting your local history museum and for tuning in each day all through the year to hear what was going on around the harbor 100 years ago. The Polson is now in a three-month closure to resume the extensive building and exhibit improvements during the pandemic with a scheduled reopening of April 6th. Though public tours will be on hold this winter, we'll still be around to take your calls and conduct other business. As always, we thank you for tuning in to hear the Polson Museum's Daily Centennial Moment.
Real American heroes. Today, we salute you, Mr. Yellow Pee-Pee Scientist.
Mr. Yellow Pee-Pee Scientist.
You finally solved the mystery that has baffled mankind since the Age of Enlightenment. Our urine is yellow due to an enzyme called bilirubin reductase.
You're like the Einstein of the urinal.
What scientific advancement is next?
Maybe you can explain why our boogers are green. Yeah.
So stop wondering why diseases remain incurable and cars don't run on seawater. And thank the one who wasted his brain power on the color of wee-wee, Mr. Yellow Pee-Pee Scientist.
The real American hero.
You'll soon discover yellow is also the color of the Nobel Prize.
94.7 Timber Country. It's local matters. Here's Johnny Manson.
We're with Dr. Michael Berge. He is a vet.
Veterinarian.
Yeah, not a vet. Yeah, veteran.
I have many vets as clients, by the way, it's any vets listening right now, thank you very much. I really appreciate what you did.
Right, right. Had you ever considered going in the military when you were a wee lad?
I did. My dad thought it was a good idea.
Yeah.
And
go in the military,
this
kid.
This was in Vietnam, as Vietnam was kind of in the middle to ending stages, and it was, you know, get a free education and all that stuff. I got an education for almost free, and I didn't have to work.
Soldier. I love not working.
I'm very glad that I did not serve in the military. And this is not a disrespect, because I was able to have a really fun, very useful life without ever putting myself at risk. And you guys did put yourself at risk, and I really appreciate that.
Me too. So if you have any pet questions, you can call us at 360-533-5259. You can email or text message. It's johnny@jodesha.com. And you will answer those questions, hopefully.
Right? Indeed. And if I don't answer it, I will try not to hurt your feelings.
Hey, it happens. Right?
Everybody, sometimes you say dumb stuff.
All the time.
You know, and sometimes when you apologize, it even works. But other times, you know, with that saying, what has been said can never be unsaid. Mm-hmm. I think back all the times I've said things. If I had only just kept my mouth shut, wouldn't that have been cool?
Right. You don't know how many times I've used that dump button on myself.
Right.
It's like, what? Yeah, you probably shouldn't have said that.
Right.
Bing.
Click, click. Yeah.
We'll take that out.
Do over.
But at least I got it out, you know?
Right.
Just letting it out. It's very therapeutic, doctor.
Right.
Should I
click it right now?
Yeah. Maybe here pretty soon. So, yeah, we always have a good time, though.
Okay, you bet. And once again, I love chatting, you know, and I make stuff up, but I can actually give useful advice. And as a veterinarian, you know, only about half what I do is actually veterinary medicine. The other half is psychology for the owners and the
pets.
You've
been analyzing me this whole time. I've been seeing this YouTube commercial that comes up before I watch my old 1980s pro wrestling TV shows.
Okay.
And it's a pet food commercial, and it shows this, you know, little sad-looking dog, and the guy says, no living creature should eat processed food every day, 24 hours a day, or for every meal, or something like that.
And okay, so that's
he goes on to say, we don't think of our pet food as spoiling your pet, mm-hmm. kind of thing. And it's starting to make me feel guilty.
Right, that sounds like a good commercial.
Right, a good guilt commercial?
Yeah, absolutely.
Man.
Okay, and then how does it end?
I always click skip ad.
Okay, that's how it ends.
That's how it ends here. But what's your opinion on pets eating processed food? And what's processed food? Or is dog food just regular dried bag dog food processed? Or?
Well, you know, the processed food is used as a kind of an insult to say whatever it is, you don't want it because it's processed. Mm-hmm. But, you know, processed food, when we eat like white bread, that's all processed and so forth. And mm-hmm.
And it's not good for us.
Well, yes and no. Mm-hmm. Processing food, you know, before, you know, people were processing food thousands of years ago. When, mm-hmm. when you take some meat and sprinkle salt on it, you're processing the meat. And the reason you're doing that is because you've got lots of meat today, but you want to eat some meat a week from now or a month from now.
Right.
So you dry it or salt it or both and wrap it up, and then maybe you can have a meal some other day because of processed food. Now, that's what we would call a naturally processed food now, but processing of food is just something you do for your convenience. Now, how much of the nutrients you waste kind of depends on the processing. If you take wheat and take away all the germ and have nothing but white flour, that white flour is perfectly good starch, but you are missing the vitamins. Mm-hmm. Now, that bran and so forth, you can eat that too. Your bran is a nice nutrient supplement in its own right.
I got a text message. Can you ask him to talk about what cold temperatures are safe for dogs and cats to be outdoors? That's a good question.
That's a really good question. Okay. So anyway, I'm done talking about processed food. You know, it's just it's one of those fuzzy words. You can mean whatever you want it to mean. Now, about cold. A local veterinarian, Dr. Brian Dowling, has retired. He's a good friend of mine, and he once actually worked for me when he first came into town. He's from Alaska, and he told me a story about the sled dogs in Alaska. And he said those sled dogs, which are very furry, they're not particularly big. They're very furry. They're very cold tolerant, and they have little houses to live in when it gets cold. The houses are not heated, but they're small so that the body heat of these dogs will keep them warm. Well, they choose not to use those houses until it gets 10 below in Alaska. If it's only 5 below, they just lie out in the snow because it's not worth the trouble of crawling into their houses. So that's how cold tolerant those dogs are. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have a little hairless chihuahua or something and you put it on the snow for your lunch hour, you'll probably find it dead when you come back.
Really?
Yeah, they have no heat capacity.
Wow.
So, you know, the sled dog could nap on the snow. Your little chihuahua would die of hypothermia almost instantly. Mm-hmm. So they're both dogs, but they have entirely different cold tolerances.
Right.
So the main working answer, what is it, actionable intelligence, would be if you are comfortable, your pet is probably comfortable. If you're too hot or too cold, then maybe your pet could use some help.
Well, you know, when it gets really hot in the summertime, people say that, you know, if it's 80 degrees, that means the pavement is, you know, 150,000 degrees,
right.
And
yeah.
Your pet, you know, your paws can...
Absolutely.
Get, you
it,
know.
Is, it is real.
Is it the same for cold?
Yes, yes. Dogs can have... dogs or cats can have frostbite on their feet from cold.
Oh, okay.
To, yes, indeed.
All right.
And in the summertime, I get burned paws all the time. Normally, they just heal right up, but it is very painful.
Do you ever get calls like that? Like, people come in with their...
Yeah, many times somebody will come in with a limping dog, and I say, I think he burned his feet on the hot asphalt.
Oh.
And I say, yeah, I think he did too.
Do you shame the owner?
Of course. You know, that's a good way to make a very profitable business is to drive off your clients like that. No, I tried to be really understanding.
Right.
We all make mistakes.
Right. Well, if you have any pet questions, you can call us 360-533-5259.
Go ahead. Oh, that's all right. We're still in our slot right now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to say that with this little cold snap that came through, we have hummingbirds that stay with us all winter.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a heater for the hummingbird feeder. But, you know, roaring in at 16 degrees Fahrenheit is kind of cold for us. And it overwhelmed my little heater so that the sugar water froze anyways into sort of an ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And so I noticed that the first thing in the morning. The hummingbirds, of course, don't go out at night anyways. And we took the sugar water in to thaw it out. And I needed to beef up the heater. So I took a little 65-watt light bulb and wrapped tin foil around it and put it underneath the hummingbird feeder, and which it worked. It's still running right now. But while I was doing that, two hummingbirds came in, and they were basically landing on my nose, except they were too busy fighting each other to really care about me. But I set that up in a real hurry because the hummingbirds were buzzing around like hornets, and they were really, really hungry and thirsty.
Can they get kind of, what's the word for it? Aggressive hummingbirds?
Yes.
Like dive bomb at you and stuff?
Yeah. Now, I've never actually had an injury, but people tell me that their little beaks can be used as like little needles.
Oh, wow.
And it stings a little bit.
Okay.
But they're really aggressive against each other. It's just like there's not enough sugar water in the world for everybody, only me.
Right.
And so they spend a lot of time guarding.
Hummingbird overpopulation.
Well, I think probably I have to believe we must have lost some last week. Because that much cold is really hard on them.
Yeah,
I think our hummingbirds did okay, but if somebody didn't go to aggressive details like I did to heat up their sugar water,
mm-hmm.
those hummingbirds would die because they don't have enough resources.
What's a quarter tell? We have one more segment here with Dr. Berge here on Local Matters.
Psst. Hey, Mark, remember, getting help from Progressive is so easy. You can use the mobile app, chat with us online, or call us.
And you pick now to tell me.
I couldn't miss Little Grace's ballet recital. Oh, thanks for inviting me, by the way.
Did I?
Because you know I'm always here for you.
Yeah. I can use the mobile app if I need help. Sorry, you're in my wife's seat, though.
Oh, yeah, I gotta go anyway. Tell Grace she nailed her chasse.
Get the help you need from Progressive with our mobile app, online chat, or over the phone. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Nachos!
Hey, I'll take some.
And some Frank's Red Hot.
Nah.
You're just gonna eat these boring nachos with no flavor. Frank it up! This guy finally gets it.
It's the perfect blend of flavor and heat. Frank's Red Hot. I put that on everything.
This year, wouldn't it be great to stop dealing with thin, brittle, shedding hair and instead have the thick, healthy, gorgeous hair you've always wanted? Now you can by using Hair Volume from New Nordic. Look for Hair Volume at your local Walgreens and CVS or online at Amazon.com or NewNordicUSA.com.
Northwest Swim Spa in Elma is your ultimate destination for the largest selection of swim spas and hot tubs in the Northwest. Offering three major brands, including 35 fully loaded units under $10,000. You can even experience before you buy. Test swim at their showroom. No locations too far for delivery from Westport to Utah. Call Northwest Swim Spas now at 360-861-4667 and mention this ad to get a free set of stairs with your order.
Summit Pacific Medical Center is your family's full-service, patient-centered medical home. Summit Pacific continues to take extra precautions so you can be confident that getting care at any of our facilities is safe. Whether you need an annual primary care exam, you're due for an MRI or a mammogram, want to attend a free community event, or need to visit the emergency department at 2 a.m., Summit Pacific is here for you 24/7. Learn more at summitpacificmedicalcenter.org. Summit Pacific, your partner in health and wellness.
Ready to leapfrog your winnings? Head to Quinault Beach Resort and Casino every Thursday, Friday, and Sunday and win up to $5,000 in cash and free play. Every winner earns an entry into the $29,000 giveaway on February 29th. Five lucky winners will walk away with cash and free play with top prize of $18,000 cash, $1,000 free play. So hop on down to the beach. Quinault Beach Resort and Casino in Ocean Shores. Winners happen here. See Q Club for promotional details.
I I have listeners that send me memes all morning, and depending on the guest, you know, it usually pertains to the, you know, what we're talking about and who's on. And apparently at Davis Animal Hospital somewhere USA, on their reader board, spay and neuter your pets and weird friends and relatives. Do you have a reader board?
No, I think reader boards are great, but they're actually a lot of work, so I've never,
right.
I've never really jumped into that.
Yeah.
But I think if you have the energy, if you're a business owner and you have the energy to change the message on a regular basis, I think they're very valuable.
Right. Especially like if you're on a main drag.
Yeah.
Let's see. You have just 3 hummingbird feeders for each location when frozen, replaced with a fresh feeder. Much better for the hummers.
Right, yeah, and the trouble is, if it's really cold, you take your fresh juice out there and put it out, and then 45 minutes later, it's frozen.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be constantly thawing out your liquid, which is a lot of work.
Yeah. Okay.
But if you do have some hummingbird liquid and it's just frozen, but it's still relatively fresh, mm-hmm. you don't have to throw it away. You can just thaw it out and present it again.
All right. Well.
But yeah, keeping hummingbird feeders reliable in the wintertime is sort of a noble effort, because if you've been putting out those feeders and your birds are dependent on you,
right.
that means you kind of need to keep up with it.
Well, you know, they tell us not to feed the deer because
yeah.
the deer become dependent and blah, blah, blah. Shouldn't the same apply to birds?
Well, you know, a lot of various park signs, you'll see a sign saying, you know, the Rocky Mountains or whatever, saying, a fed critter is a dead critter. A mm-hmm. fed critter is a dead critter. And the idea is that if you're feeding the little chipmunk, mm-hmm. they become dependent on your Cheerios and so forth, or maybe even they could be injured from the bad food in the first place.
Right.
And then
the processed food.
Processed food. Oh, yes, actively. They don't you know these companies squirt poisons in on purpose because they're just evil?
That's anyway, what I heard.
The main thing is the animal becomes dependent, and then the seasons change, and you go home and sit by your fire, mm-hmm. and these wild animals that were dependent on you have nothing to eat, and then they die. And there's a lot of truth to that. But I feed stuff.
Yeah, you're like, I do it.
Right. But then we're also on a commitment. You know, we have the hummingbirds, but we also put out peanuts and little black sunflower seeds in massive quantities. And we've been doing it for...
Almost. Peanuts? Who eats the peanuts?
Squirrels and jays.
Oh, so now you're feeding the... You're harming the squirrels now.
Right, but they're not processed peanuts.
Oh, they're all natural.
Right.
Okay. Just like if the squirrel would find a peanut tree.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we've been doing this for... well, ever since we came here 33 years ago, we've had feeders out.
Yeah.
And I believe that we have significantly affected the population in our neighborhood in Central Park. I.e., squirrels and jays are in much higher quantity than they would have been otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And the little birds, too. You know, if I look out at breakfast over our backyard, our yard is absolutely seething with birds, big ones and little ones. And I go out to my little lovely cottage in the land, and there's nothing, maybe a robin.
Mm.
So we have far more birds in our backyard than I do out in the forest.
Hmm. Wow. It's like your Dr. Doolittle? Is that the dude that
yeah,
did that, all
that,
the...
Yeah, he's, the several movies have been made over the years of Dr. Doolittle.
Isn't Eddie Murphy the last one?
I think so.
Yeah.
I haven't watched
Do you
them.
Watch many movies?
No, hardly.
No?
Which is funny because I actually enjoy them when I watch them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just so busy.
Right.
You know, and that sounds kind of hokey for me to say that, but mm-hmm. it's an actual fact, you know, between working and sleeping. And
am I prying too much by asking you, like, okay, when you get done with work and you go home, do you just, like, you just sit on the couch and
right.
rest? Or
I do spend a fair amount of time, you know, on the internet finding the latest outrages for news.
The latest outrages, yeah.
You know, but I can only take... so much of that. That might be an hour's worth.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of time doing creative stuff on my own, doing that ship's box and so forth.
Right.
And so that's what I do. But movies, I just don't have time for.
Okay, so...
Or television at all.
Let's say some big-time producer, you know, stumbles across Ship's Fox and says, hey, man, we want to make this into an animated series.
Oh, that would be great.
How much would that cost them to buy from you?
Ha ha. Pardon me while I roll
well, you
over.
You rub your hands together.
Well, here's the way it usually works. Yeah. If you're lucky enough to get the interest of a studio, they'll buy the movie rights for what the least amount. Somebody like me, $10 would be about right, I think.
Yeah.
But say, for instance, you have a little bit more fame, like your Trudeau for Doonesbury or something, that you might get, $100,000 or something for the movie rights. Mm-hmm. But once they've bought those rights, the fact is they're probably not going to make a movie. Half the time they're buying those movie rights just so their competitor can't make a movie about it. So they buy the movie rights and sit on it, and then now you've sold the rights, you can't do anything. You can't make your own movie.
Right.
And it basically gets buried. So, and a lot of times also the studios don't really want to buy movie rights to existing material. They can hire their own screenwriters to just make something custom-made for their purposes, and they don't have to buy the rights because they own it from the beginning. So a lot of movies are just made from scratch.
Well, nowadays, with all the reboots, oh, boy. Oh, my. My, oh, my. Well, we got about 5 more minutes here with Dr. Berge. He's patiently waiting for you to call up any pet questions that you may have. We've had some...
And meanwhile, if there's any wealthy studio agent listening right now and they would like to buy my Ships Fox movie rights for $100,000, let's talk.
That's all?
Just $200,000. That's my final offer.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Everybody has a price.
Right.
It's just, what's yours? Yours is $200,000.
Right.
All right. So if you sold Ships Fox... Mm-hmm. You'd create something else, right?
Right, you bet.
Do you have like a backup plot, storyline, characters?
No, because it's very unlikely that I will sell Ships Fox. And what the online cartoonists will do is they'll start something. They might have thought of it as a temporary thing. But, what is it? Nothing's more permanent than a temporary camp.
Yeah.
So you create an online thing, and if it becomes popular, it's better to just continue to work that one than to create a new one from scratch.
Right.
In terms of getting people to pay attention.
We should make a cartoon and just post it on YouTube.
Well, that's a thought.
Okay. I'll split it with you.
we maybe... no.
Oh. I have to pay you $200,000.
We'll split the difference.
Oh.
Since you helped me out, you only have to pay me $100,000.
Oh, okay. Deal? Wow. I saved half.
Yeah, you saved $100,000.
Man, oh, man. So do you have any plans for the year? We're into a new year now. It's already the 17th of January. Do you have any vision for the year? Are you just going to just keep doing,
nothing,
what you're doing?
Nothing really new.
Yeah.
Just...
Plug away?
For myself, just doing the same old things.
Yeah.
I am concerned about certain politics going on. But
and work on the cabin and help pets out.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Is there a common ailment around now? Like something that's, we get a lot of colds with dogs.
Right. There's no specific disease. Now and then you'll get an animal with frostbite. We don't get that so much around here. But I do have a cat that got some significant frostbite in Montana, and it lost its ears.
What were you doing in Montana?
Well, I was not in Montana.
Oh.
But the cat was in Montana. They'd got its frostbite before the current owners got possession of it.
Oh.
They found it half dead.
Oh.
And nursed it back to health, but at that time, it was in the winter when they found it. It had already had the frostbite.
Oh, and poor thing.
Yeah, but it healed up okay.
Yeah. When they get like frostbite on the ears, do you have to like cut the ears off or anything? Or?
If you had a cat, if I had a cat come in with active frostbite on the ears, I would probably give it more time for natural healing.
Yeah.
Just to see how it worked out, because a lot of times it will sort itself out without having to do surgery. But sometimes you will actually anesthetize the cat and trim off the dead tissue and make a tidier job of it.
What about your cats that, they want to go outside? They know it's freezing cold, and they want to go outside like it's part of their routine, let me out. And they get outside, and they don't freak out or anything. They're just like, okay, I'm out. I'm happy. Well,
you know, no matter how cold it is, even that chihuahua I was talking about that would freeze to death on the snow, mm-hmm. You can open the door and let that chihuahua dance around on the snow. Mm-hmm. It just open the door again when it wants to come
when
back.
When it wants. Okay.
Because it will tell
it'll
you.
It'll come back when it wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is, when you're
I'm freezing to death, please let me in.
Yeah. And the same thing with a cat. The cats actually are much more cold tolerant than a chihuahua. They've got nice fur and their pads.
My pit bull, I mean... She'll go out for 30 seconds, and then she'll be at the door like she's being tortured.
Right, yeah. Right, and some dogs are such a baby that they'll pee on the floor because it's too much trouble to go outside to pee.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, that's what I was talking about, psychology. I have to do a lot of counseling.
Do you really?
Yes. And the dogs don't listen to me, but the owners listen.
Yeah.
But then they talk to the dogs, and the dogs don't listen to them.
Right. And then they cave in to the dogs.
Mostly, yeah.
Right. Well, we're seconds away.